Hello, and welcome to The Path of Power with Galexis. My name is Ginger Metro, and I channel Galexis, who will speak with you today. Most of Galexis' members have been physical, most are ascended, and they are specialists that who join the group from time to time. When Galexis speaks with an individual, the person's guides and spirit helpers often join in. And there will be an opportunity for you to call in today to speak one-on-one with Galexis. Your guides and spirit helpers will join with Galexis, so Galexis is a little different, unique with everyone. Today, Galexis will discuss a topic they feel timely, and then they'll open the mic and accept questions. The number to call in on is, what's the new one number? Just a minute, we're on here on a new channel, and welcome to all of you for us to be on this new channel. And the number to call is going to be 877-876-5227. This is channel one, and so also if you want to know more, or if that number is busy, you want to call another number, just check what's showing there on the page of channel one. So I'm going to head on out, and Galexis will be with you now. There will be a few seconds of silence, and then Galexis will come on. So have a great day, and I'll be returning after Galexis is done at the end of the show. So bye-bye for now. All right. This is Galexis, and welcome. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you today. And we're going to start out with a little topic on the little dirty dark secret that lies within everyone. Now, of course, you've heard us say before, particularly on this radio station, and also if you go to our website homepage, you'll see it listed there, our website being galexaspirit.com. You'll see on that website a little quote, "You are a spark of consciousness." Now, admittedly, you have come into the physical body, and in order to do that, in order to be born here, you had to forget who you were. A lot of people wonder, well, why do we forget? Because, you see, it seems to be so illogical to have to come somewhere so far, it seems, from the divine experience, and to forget who we are, and then have to plod around and suffer and struggle and do all that kind of stuff in the physical plane. Well, dear one, you chose to come here. It was an exciting adventure. You thought it was going to be. You were delighted. You were intrigued. And one of the reasons you came here is because you wanted to learn how to create from scratch. You wanted to learn how to create illusions and play with them and shift them and change them. And so the Earth experiment of moving into a greater level of consciousness, for those of you who call it ascension, moving into fourth dimensional consciousness, there was a tremendous opportunity for you to come and experience this illusory play firsthand. So you chose to learn from scratch. First of all, you had to forget who you were. But you see, as soon as you got here, and it was your free will that got you here, and it's your free will that leads you through this whole maze, your exploration of choice and personal will and desire and intentions, in the process, you had to be born into what is called a consensus reality. It's a matrix of thoughts and beliefs and ways of being and perceptions and, in a sense, also orientations about time and cause and effect and karma and et cetera, et cetera. And you were born right into it to parents that you chose who could give you the proper genetics and hopefully some really good kick in the butt, you know, kind of training to share with you your mission, your topics of interest, your themes of focus that you wanted to play with. But one of the things that you discovered when you came here, forgetting who you were, is that you were very often told who you were by others, by your parents, by teachers, by your religion. You know, the authorities that were the grown-up authorities basically put out this whole belief system that you picked up to use. Oh, good, a belief system already ready for me. I don't know how to create my own beliefs, so I'll take this belief system. Thank you very much. So you took what was there. But inherent in that belief system was a fatal flaw. The belief system of your consensus reality, of course, based on the experiences of a whole bunch of people over a long, long period of time, and we're talking about millions of people over millennia of time, it was that they didn't know who they were. And so when they looked at the divine and the incredible expression of the divine, and they looked at themselves and their capabilities, they decided, well, my gosh, you know, I must not be divine. I must be some kind of little pathetic thing here. I'm some kind of humble nut in the great machinery, a little peg, a little speck, a little grain of sand on the beach. I'm nothing. I'm not important. I'm not useful. I'm not valuable. Will I be able to get love? Will I be able to get enough love to survive? Will I be able to make it? And that started the building of this little dirty secret. The dirty secret that people try so hard to cover. If you notice yourself and you notice others, you'll notice many times that if you are criticized or if people hint that you're not smart or okay or good or whatever, you're going to get into a defensive position. Or you may, you know, bow your head in submission, oh yes, you're right. I'm really a piece of crap. I really am nothing. I'm really not worth anything. Or you defend yourself. Hey, you know, I'm smart. Look at what I can do. Look at what I have done. Okay, look at my good traits here. Well, compensate from that feeling, that of that emptiness, that hunger to feel full and complete, to feel divine when it's not there. Now, the way that this dirty secret, this hole of and pit of darkness and lack of knowledge about the self was created was through the implementation of a strategy called shaming. That is, when your parents were disappointed in you, angry with you, and told you you just didn't have it together, you weren't smart, you were stupid. Or if your parents didn't do that, your peers certainly did. Or there was a sense of the belief system that your parents used where they felt inadequate, and they felt it was difficult for them to function. So they gave this to you. So the rest of your life, once you kind of got a track of what was going on, was devoted to covering it up, to hiding it, or to compensate for it, or by redeeming yourself, or by holding the guilt upon yourself so that hopefully at some point you would develop and grow yourself and eventually be worthwhile, eventually be lovable, eventually have some significance, some value, some impact on others. It took a long time, perhaps, for you to realize, and you may not fully realize right now, that everybody has done this. And unless you have specifically delineated your pieces of shame, that part of you that believes that you're not divine by your nature, that the part that feels that you are nothing or that you're not good enough, you can't do it, you're inadequate, incompetent. The part of you that feels that the ultimate reward for being yourself is just shame, failure, and humiliation. and abandonment. This self, this piece of yourself, is a part of you that has, by your own conscious, deliberate, free will choice, explored how far away from God, Goddess, all that is you could get. How far from the divine could you taste, test, experience, and know. But you see, once you taste that, the rest of your journey is coming back home, is the remembering of who you are. So why not accelerate your journey? Why not claim who you are as a powerful reality creator, a divine being, a light being, who's on a mission to transform, transcend in consciousness, so that you and all in your world can lift back into the reunion and the knowing of the divine within you and of the grander scheme. All right, and so we'd like to open the show now for questions. If anyone wants to call in, feel free to call in on the number that we gave earlier, and we will be happy to talk with you about this topic or about any other topic that you would like to discuss. But you see, this piece is probably what we would call the core piece, the core deep, dark secret that has to be, at some point in your life, revealed, healed, released, and replaced with the knowing and the remembrance of who you are. It's the key piece of your spiritual journey, the key piece of your spiritual work. It's the foundation of a happy and joyous and loving and free life. This piece is your key critical piece. How it manifests in your life varies a little bit from person to person. All right, there is a call. We'll take that.
Hello. Hi, this is Nancy.
Hello, Nancy. How are you, dear one?
I'm doing just great, thank you.
All right. So what would you like to discuss this day?
Well, how do I find out who I am?
Oh, how do you? All right. Well, the first thing is to look out what is reflecting to you in your reality. See, now, what you do is that when you create a reality, and this is true for you and for everyone, what you see in your reality mirrors what you believe, what you think, what you know. So first of all, before you can expand into your divinity, you need to know where you're at. What kind of feedback do you get from other people, you see? What kind of references do you get from your reality? Do you feel powerful? And do things come into your life to offer you the opportunities of power? You see, if you can see that this mirroring is part of your, you might say, your particular journey, then you can kind of get a sense of where you're at. And what you want to do is that with the feedback that you get, if you get, for example, people who are very hostile to you, very judging to you, or want to create codependent relationships with you, and try to pull you into situations where you are controlled or manipulated or that type of thing, what you're looking at is the opportunity. It's not a negative opportunity, admittedly so, but it is still an opportunity for you to explore where you've given your power away, where you have let some part of you go. Now, if you will then respond to that type of situation by making a choice that you are going to take your power back, that you are going to value yourself in whatever way you think would be useful, you will find that your responses to these circumstances will shift the circumstances. You will find that if you respond powerfully and positively to various circumstances, that those types of circumstances will no longer have to keep showing up. They will no longer have to be bugging you, always nagging at you. Those old patterns are patterns that come from your shame days. So when you deliberately take that kind of task upon you, that's the first thing that you can do to start expanding yourself, because as you start to feel more powerful, you can also find that your power of choice increases. As you choose to take your power, you can also choose to stand up for yourself, you can always, which means that you're starting to value yourself more. So in order to you for you to value yourself or to build any kind of self-esteem, do things that make you feel better. You know, you have a wonderful sensing equipment there in your emotional body to help you feel better. You know, when you do something that you know is powerful and strong and right and true, you're going to feel good. You realize that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel good about yourself. So anything that you do that enables you to feel good about yourself is a big step in this direction. The second thing that we would suggest that you can do after you begin that type of process, which begins a kind of a momentum in the right direction, you can also then practice meditation and getting into the inner part of yourself to see those parts of yourself that are wounded and hurt, the parts that were damaged and destroyed. And rather than sitting around feeling sorry for yourself about what has happened, and we can see that you've already pretty much done that, that you then... you recognize that these are things that you desire to release, and so that you will release the pain of the past. You will let that go by choice. Again, choice. So one thing is that you're looking how you're working in your environment. The second part is to find those parts of you that are hurt and wounded and to begin to care for those parts, to care for, let's say, the part of you that is still a child and afraid, to go and hold that child self in meditation, to nurture her, to protect her. Every time you do something for your child self, every time you do something out of love for another aspect of yourself, every time you allow yourself to heal in any way, shape, or form, and that means also by getting counseling, by getting assistance from people who can assist you. There are plenty of coaches and counselors on, and marvelous material to help you release the pain, to get into your emotions and accept what those feelings are, love them, and then let them go by choice. That makes a big shift towards ownership of your divine, because the ultimate energy of the divine is love. Because you see, you are love. God is love. God, Goddess, all that is. Everything is made up of love. Every time you release any dark emotion and expand your emotional body to embrace a possibility of something more positive, you're moving into greater love for yourself. And so you're moving into greater connection to divinity. A third step that you can do is by deliberately contacting the divine. There are several stages of doing that. The first is what most people know of as prayer or supplication. But we would suggest that beyond that is to, in a sense, go and make peace with God, make peace with the Goddess, make peace with your world. Do this in visualization. You can, you know, how do you imagine God? Is he an old man with a beard and you can go up to the throne and talk to him? And so, in a sense, to start initiating some kind of activation with the divine or with something that is greater than yourself, such as your higher self. Go visiting your higher self, who knows how to love unconditionally, so that you can, in a sense, begin to stretch your imagination to understand maybe what would it feel like to love yourself unconditionally without any expectations and conditions and requirements. As you get into that, you'll begin to pick up the knowings. You'll begin to sense the radiance of your being. You'll begin to sense that you have an impact. You'll begin to sense the ownership of this reality. And as that happens, your mission, your intentions of coming here will return to you. And from there, you will find that the doors will open to you for you to step into and experience more and more of your own divinity. There are many techniques that will open to you, and we know that you've already found some of these. You've been working on these. But the most important thing, of course, as we mentioned before, is releasing that dirty, dark secret. You've gone as far as you can go and experienced as far as you can go from the experience of your divine. And if you can start thinking of that as a spectrum with the divine on one end and that shame on the other, then just recognize that every step you take away from the shame and the self-discouragement, you will step towards the divine. It can be a long process. Some people spend many lifetimes in this process. Most people spend about 3 or 4 lifetimes in what we would call home-going lifetimes of really learning who they are, learning their divinity. When you start to get the momentum going, then you just remind yourself. At first it may not seem realistic just to say, I am divine. I am a powerful reality creator. But if you will do that, if you, for example, we'll go to our website, galexiaspirit.com, and see the little message that shows up there on the homepage, and just go through that 1, 2, maybe 3 times a day, and attempt to stretch your imagination to claim it, to own that you are a spark of consciousness, that you're a particle of light in the body of God. You will begin to see after a while, it starts to get in there. There starts to get a resonance within you, a humming, a frequency. It wakes up your soul and spirit. It starts to feel more alive in there, and you'll start to be able to claim more of who you are. This process goes on infinitely because, dear one, when you finally get to the place where you can acknowledge that you are divine, truly, completely, and wholly divine, that which you are claiming to be, that which is God, God is all that is, has already expanded and grown through your efforts amongst others into even a greater body. So there's always greater places to go. There's always more love. There's always more light. You see, dear one?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, dear one, for that question.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Quite a profound question. And so we open the lines here for another question. But you see, the journey to the divine, that is your journey. That is why you're here. That is what you came to do. And you created a fantastic illusion within which you can play, within which you can share this with all the others that you have brought into the illusion with you, your friends, your loved ones, even hopefully your enemies, even hopefully those seeming institutions like governments and the medical establishment and so forth that seem to have power over everything. Even those can change. All right, we have another caller. Hello.
Hi, Alexis. It's Stephanie.
Hello, Stephanie. What a pleasure to speak with you.
And you too.
All right. So what would you like to discuss today?
I have been experiencing having some limitations on my financial abundance of late.
Yes.
And I want to know if you could tell me about that. Is that due to my inability to receive? It seems like I'm getting almost manifestations, but I'm not getting quite from into the abundance range.
All right. All right. Are you getting manifestations that allow you to be at least level, in a sense, at least to cover your bills?
Yes, pretty, somewhat. It's covering some of the bills, but it's not allowing me to, you know, expand to where I want to go.
All right. So, in a sense, you're just kind of hovering around baseline right now, financially.
Right.
All right. Okay, to expand further. Yes, receiving and definitely is a very important factor in expanding your financial background. But we would suggest that there's a couple of things that show up in your energy field that might be very useful. And one thing is that there still is a sense that in order for you to get further where you are, it seems that you are projecting what has been, and that is up to the present, all the way back into the past, into your future, so that you're expecting to continue the amount of what we would say work, struggle, effort, labor.
Okay.
So there's an anticipation of labor.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
It's like you don't see how you could just like open things up and that things could open easily. You just don't get that connection that it's possible. There's a sense of lack of possibility there. And we would suggest that some of that has to do with that and the looking at your situation, at your financial situation, that you have accepted some beliefs and accepted some limitations that and also have some underlying frustrations and feelings of powerlessness. That if you could let those go, if you could kind of do a meditation and release those, that we would highly recommend that you would start to feel that the burden of debt that lay on you, that are so heavy, the demands, the pressure, the weight of having to earn money, to keep trying to pull it in, to kind of create it for yourself, that heaviness can start to release. Because right now you're kind of heavied out, aren't you?
Yes, I feel.
Right, and if you think about it, what you're holding in your energy field is the energy of debt.
Okay.
Now, debt doesn't feel good, does it?
No, it's not light at all.
Right, so here's what we would like to suggest. To use a technique that we're borrowing from a friend of ours, Gary Douglas, who does the access work, is to look at it, instead of debt, reframe it to look at, okay, these are past expenditures.
Okay.
Now, past expenditures, it's kind of, if you just think of it as past expenditures.
Okay.
Now, just feel that that's a little bit lighter, right?
Yes.
It feels a little less. It feels a little less burdensome.
Yes.
In other words, it's part of a process. You can feel that it's more of a process. Because you see, dear one, money is a flow. Money is an energy. It's a vibration. And money is actually a very kind of feminine energy in the sense that it's a communicative energy. It's an energy that goes in between things. It's an exchange kind of energy. It's a giving and receiving kind of energy.
Okay.
So for you to tune in to the energy of money, you have to recognize that there is an energy flow to money. What you are getting into here is that because of debt, which you now project into the future along with that, you know, hard work and labor, that because of that, what you're looking at is that, okay, all the expenditures I'm doing are not going to be matched, or my fear is that they're not going to be matched by money coming in, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, when you get to that place, the fear basically stops the flow of energy.
Right.
So you will expend monies, but the energy is stuck, so nothing's going to come in except just the minimal that maybe to cover just the minimal that you spent. So you get into scarcity, so you don't want to spend much, and since... And, of course, every time you spend something, a little something has to come in because you create a vacuum in you.
Yes.
And so something comes in to fill the vacuum. So if you spend a little bit, there's a little bit comes in to fill the vacuum. As long as you have fear,
yes,
then what comes in to fill the vacuum may be just about what you spent.
That's about right.
All right?
Yes.
And that's kind of where you are right now.
Yes.
All right? Now, what if you were to practice by your imagination releasing the fear.
Okay.
The fear that you could, that you could spend money and that, that fear that if you spend money, you're not going to get the replenishment.
Okay.
Okay. If you can go to a place without fear and if you can stay out of your child and adolescent self,
yes.
The child self never has enough.
Yes.
The adolescent self is worrying, am I good enough? Am I going to be able to pull this one off?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And so they're in there trying to protect you, trying to say, danger, danger, watch out, watch out. But they don't have any solutions for you. So,
right.
So they are holding fear for you.
Okay.
That's the source of your fear. It's not really the powerful reality creator you are today.
Right.
But you've kind of let them come in and start taking over.
Yes.
All right? So what you want to do is go visit each one of them. Give them their ideal reality.
Okay.
You know, filled with plenty of abundance of love and things and all sorts of great things. And then ask, tell them, look, we're going to make an agreement that, you know, that you stay there in this wonderful fantasy land I created for you.
Okay.
And I'm the adult, and I'll take care of it from here.
Okay.
And if you'll do that, make this arrangement with both of them.
Okay.
You'll feel that the fear starts to lift. Now,
yes.
As soon as you start thinking debt and frustration and labor,
yes.
those pieces, you'll fall right back into it.
Okay.
So these are, you know, first of all, you have to take the whole assumption of labor off. You have to release that as an energy. You can just breathe it out until you feel lighter. Take that energy and put it away someplace.
Okay.
Stash it in a rock. Stash it somewhere.
Okay.
But just don't keep it and hold it close to your heart, all right? And then do the same thing with the sense of debt. Change it to past expenditures that you're working on.
Okay.
And then release that and flow all of that out, the energies around that and the frustration and perhaps the powerlessness around that. And then thirdly, you release the child and the adolescent and the fears that they are bringing up because they're afraid that they're not going to survive, and therefore if you don't survive, then they don't survive.
Right.
So when you get those three kind of going, the fourth step is for you to step into your powerful adult and claim your reality creatorship.
Okay.
In fact, you created this whole situation that you're in initially to explore being a very powerful reality creator in a whole new way of expression, yes?
Yes, yes, because I have been working on that. And all the stuff that you just described, the paradoxes with the child and everything, I have been experiencing that as well.
Right. But if you stand in your light, if
yes.
you claim yourself as a powerful reality creator and take your power back from the situation.
Yes.
All right? Just pull your power back. You can breathe it in with the in-breath. You know, just as you can let stuff go with an out-breath, you can bring whatever you want in with your in-breath, breathe it in and say, power, return to me, and pull it in from the situation. You see?
Yes.
All right. And when you pull that and you feel good and strong, that's when you go and you review, okay, what kind of expenditures do we want? Okay, how am I going to allow, what is it going to feel like to receive abundantly? All right, let's go and look at, you know, the situation from this perspective.
Okay.
All right? And so the next piece, of course, for you is to perhaps connect with the self that has already figured this out.
Yes, the future self.
The future, yes. You remember, though, future self, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so we'd suggest you bring up the future self. You'd imagine her standing there, beautiful, radiant, powerful, and strong, and here you are standing there in your power and your radiance, and just get the two of you really, really connected, really good and strong, okay?
Okay.
So that you feel really like the pathway to her is definitely the way you're going.
Okay.
It will help start to build a sense of rebuild, actually, a sense of trust.
Okay.
Which has kind of gone out the window at this point. So you want to just rebuild that sense of trust, that sense of knowing that you are on a pathway there, and this is inevitable that you will end up there.
Okay.
So you really want to connect very, very strongly with this. And so when you do that, then you bring her knowledge and wisdom back to you through, she will send you light, and you will receive that light. This is a receiving now,
okay.
Opening it up, and then you bring in your divine, you claim your divine self, perhaps your higher self, bring that light in,
yes.
Right? And then bring the energy, the frequency, the spirit of money to you.
Okay.
All right, bring it in. Okay. Now, if it feels heavy, if it feels scary, if it feels weird or twisted, breathe it out first. All the twisted, weird part, the
okay.
heavy part. Oh, that must be beliefs I have about money, resistances I have about money, crap I have put on money.
Yes.
Breathing it out. Now, breathe in money. Okay.
Okay.
So now you're receiving from the future, from the divine, and from money, right?
Yes, yes.
Now, sense that you're in this flow, that you're receiving from these three sources, it's coming into you, and push it out now through you, and so that you sense yourself sending money, sending divine light, sending the qualities and wisdom attributes of your future self that you have out into the world.
Okay.
Now, when you start doing that, you start getting into a flow. Sense it so that you feel, I'm part of a flow.
Okay.
There's this incredible, huge, divine flow coming into me, and I'm moving energy out the front. Knowing that money is energy.
Okay.
It's not real.
Yes.
Okay, it's an illusion. Knowing that money is energy, you call money in. How do you just let it come into you and just fill you all up, and then you breathe it out? You know, because money, you want money to come in, but you don't want to hold on to it.
Okay.
Because if you're part of the flow, that money flows out, and you keep the flow going, and you don't stop the flow at any point, then the flow will continue to come in.
Okay.
And that you've added the flow of money coming in with your future self and your divine self flowing into you, that should, in a sense, tell your subconscious that you're opening to receive more money in than you're expending.
Okay.
Because you're going to give energy as well as money.
Yes.
Instead of hard labor, just sense of it as giving energy.
Okay.
Keep it, in a sense, in an energy form.
Okay.
All right. And so we would suggest staying in the flow as often as you can.
Okay.
Now, when you're in that place and you have to make decisions about, you know, what to expend and what to do, we're not saying that immediately jump to having the big expanse, because that would be your adolescent having a good time.
Right. Okay.
All right. And the adolescent says, oh, okay, all right, we're all high now. We can just now, you know, fulfill the fantasy.
Yes.
All right. So what you do is you want to practice getting in the flow, and you'll start to see shifts. You'll start to see more and more coming in. It's just going to, in little, you know, waves. There'll be times when it won't and times when it'll come in more.
Okay.
And so don't freak when it doesn't come in more.
Okay.
All right? Because when you do that, it's basically like a clarion call to the child self and the adolescent self to jump in again.
Yes, I understand.
Right. So what you want to do is hold this resonance.
Okay,
to hold the resonance of you, the powerful reality creator, in the divine flow.
Okay.
All right. And from there, as a responsible, empowered adult, you make decisions that seem to be, well, right now, you'll probably make the same expenditures as you're doing right now, but you'll probably do them with less attitude.
Yes, with more
You'll probably do them feeling, okay, I feel comfortable spending this money.
Okay, yes,
yes. Even the same level of money you're doing now, I'm comfortable with it because I know that I'm going to get more.
Yes, yes.
And as soon as that kind of starts to get installed, what's that?
I said that's where the fear comes. You're right on target. The fear comes in is that it will not be replaced, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So you want to make sure that you keep the flow going.
Yes.
So that when you spend money, you spend it and feel free and light as you spend it. So that it matches the vibration of what is pulled into you.
Okay.
And keep claiming all the divine, the future, the money coming into you. And keep imagining it. Maybe you have to stop several times during the day at first.
Okay.
To keep yourself, get yourself back into that energy flow.
Yes.
Other symptoms and signs that will show you that you're moving in the right direction is that there will be certain kinds of opportunities.
Okay.
That will open up people who will have really good ideas or creative inspirations, ahas, interesting free marketing, that kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, so open up to something like that. Or start thinking about brainstorming how to get, you know, free marketing.
Okay.
Because a lot of people launch their business on free marketing.
Okay.
So, not that you haven't already experienced some of it, but now's the time to have your light be so bright that it attracts people who are willing to market you, who are willing to share who you are to others.
Okay. Okay.
All right? So you can start to build energetic foundation to your expansion dream, you know?
Yes. That's what I've been working towards.
Yes, and you've been doing really good work. It's just that when you get down to the get-go, you just cringe and the fear, and you stop the flow.
Yeah, and exactly how you described it, and my child self and my adolescent self is exactly, you know, who. And thank you for the explaining to me how to, you know, quell their fears as well.
Yes. That's good, yes. And if you can do that and stay light, because you know what it feels like when you're light and free and flowing.
Yes, I do.
We know you do. So if you remember that the longer you stay there, the longer the flow will continue.
Yes, okay.
All right, dear one?
Okay, thank you so much, Alexis. It's a pleasure talking to you again.
Yes, wonderful to speak with you again. All right, yes. And thank you so much. All right. If anyone else wants to call in, and you can see how holding your resonance is what makes the difference. It's how you hold your frequencies, your energies, your powers. It's when you can hold them and you can be in a flow, then you can put anything in the flow. You can put money in the flow if you want more money. Put love in the flow if you want more love. You can do anything that you desire. You can create any intention. Put it in the flow. So that's one of the wonderful ways to just get a momentum going and get it launched and get it started. And always recognize, too, that you're living in an illusion which is bounded by time. And so there are going to be a sense of time parameters. In other words, you most likely don't believe that the flow is going to pick up instantly and that you're going to be a millionaire tomorrow. You know, how many people win the lottery out of all how many people actually play the lottery, you see. So there's a belief about time. So, you know, give yourself some grace there. Don't beat yourself up about if it has not already showed up. All right, we have another caller. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Alexis?
Yes?
I have a question about opportunities. A lot
All
of
right.
times there's a lot of different opportunities, and I'm not really sure which one is the right one to pick.
All right. Well, that's a really good question because, you know, we're talking about flow, we're talking about energy. You will notice that there's a certain quality to various opportunities. There's generally when an opportunity presents itself, there is the grand idea, right?
Yes.
Then you have the people who would participate with you in that opportunity. And they're all excited and you're excited and you can brainstorm this possibility and that possibility. So in the creative brainstorming possibility stage, it's just so exciting. It's so revving up and you feel like so charged. But then there's another opportunity that could come in and it can have the same qualities as this. All right, so how do you choose between all this excitement over here and that excitement over there? And then there's another opportunity that may not seem quite as scintillating and dynamic, but it seems very, you know, grounded and very practical and very useful. You know, you can find yourself torn between various and sundry opportunities. One of the things that we have noticed is that opportunities in your culture are attended by a certain aspect of yourself. You know, we were talking with the previous person about the child and the adolescent selves. the part of you that's still a child, the part of you that reacts like a child, the part of you that's still like that teenager and still worried about what other people think and how you look and all that kind of stuff. These parts of you are there. But there's also that part of you that when you first got into the world, when you started to get out there and really play around and explore what life was about and how wondrous and fantastic it was and how it worked and how society worked and how to make success and how to make connections and find your loved one and blah, blah, blah. And as you got to that first thrust of adulthood on your own, as yourself, not as the child of your parents, but as yourself, you entered a kind of a place where you had this whole idealistic idea about what it should be. Do you remember that?
Sort of.
Did you realize that you had a very strong opinion about the way reality should work?
Yes.
Right? And you really hoped that it would work that way, but you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So you plunged out there and found to your chagrin, and sometimes even horror, that it didn't quite work like that. So there was a part of you that when you felt the disappointment or the sting of failure or the hardship showing up in with something that you thought was easy, this could pull in the whole idea of well, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not being able to pull it across. I'm so inexperienced. Maybe I'm inadequate here. Maybe I just can't do this kind of thing. Maybe this is not what I'm supposed to be doing, or whatever other logic that you gave to yourself. That's what you did then. Now, you're not there right now. But that part of you that did that then can do it again now. What happens is, in essence, is that there's a great beginning to an opportunity, and then as you get into it, if you allow that older part of yourself, that part from that maybe early 20s or whatever, to come in and be there, it'll fizzle. You're like, oh no, the fantasy is, and the idea of it is so nice, but the actual unfoldment and actual actions and doing of it is not. So in order to look at the opportunities that open up to you and to be able to get clear so that you don't fall into that trap, you want to evaluate the opportunities through the criterion of the following. First of all, in the doing of the opportunity or the follow-through of the opportunity, are the people who you would work with, are they trustworthy? Are they really willing to do it? Or are they kind of hoping that somehow or another, you know, it's like hot potato. Here, you have some. Here, you have some. And that, in a way, that if you just kind of dance real hard and fast and get all excited, that you have enough energy, you could just kind of push it through. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing to do is to look at the people, talk with them, give them appointments to talk to you, to have meetings, and to get into that kind of organization. Because if you find that you have arranged with them that they're going to call you at such and such time for a meeting and they don't call, and then you call them, they say, I'm sorry, my child was sick, or I had to do this, or my grandmother said this, or whatever, then you're probably looking at someone else who is operating out of that young adult perspective. You see?
Yes.
All right. So it's important that whoever you're going to work with have to be people that you kind of, it's like a testing. You know, you want to make sure that they're there. That they are present, that they come to the table, that they show up for their appointments. Because if they don't show, and you don't show, you don't have anything. Now, from your perspective, are you willing to do the amount of work that's there? You know, is it something that the process of it is fulfilling for you? Is there something where in the process of unfolding this opportunity into manifestation that there are pieces of it that truly intrigue you, that you would like to put your attention to and really dig in deeper and really be present for? And if for some reason or another that they get kind of shifty and weird and so on, can you, how much of it can you carry on your own? Would you want to continue that if they weren't going to do all the great things they were going to say? How valuable is it in and of itself to you? In other words, that's a second criterion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the third criterion, a lot of people make this particular mistake as well, so we want to tell you this one so that you will avoid it. The third criterion, okay, here's an opportunity. And you look at the opportunity, and the opportunity says, we can get you what it is you want. We can get you the financial success. We can get you the love. It's whatever it is that you want. We can get that. And we can get it practically. And it looks familiar, the way to get there. It looks like stuff that is very valid and that a lot of people have done, and it looks like the trail there is pretty well worn, and therefore it's a really good possibility, really good way of doing it. So yes, that would be a really good thing to do. And that would be practical. But you see, if you find something like that, that it's really laid out like that, that it seems to be very practical and useful and functional and will give you the money, let's say, that it really could provide a lot of money, and that's kind of you're looking for a good financial opportunity. But A and B, the first two, are not really present. Then don't make a decision based on money. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't make a decision based on, oh, this is going to guarantee me this, or this has got the potential of huge amounts of money or huge amounts of love, or this is could be the soulmate I've been waiting for, or whatever. When something gets really big like that, but the process is not that exciting, new, or interesting, or different for you, you may find that this is not going to be a good opportunity for you. You see? Hello?
Yes.
All right. Does that pretty much answer your question?
Yeah, so just to recap everything, it's good to have the process be exciting and really
yes.
in alignment
yes.
with my higher self and my mission.
Yes.
And make sure the process is fulfilling.
Yes.
And
the people are trustworthy.
The people are trustworthy and they do follow through.
Yes.
So the last one, so sometimes practical can get boring.
Well, of course it can. But you see, sometimes the practical one offers the most money, let's say. It's like, okay, you make X gizmo and market it in this guaranteed marketing format, and you could make millions. That just the idea of that, even though you don't want to... You're not that excited about the product. You're not maybe that excited about the marketing medium and participating in that. But, hey, it's going to make millions. That's the one we're talking about.
Okay.
Because the promise is unrealistic to what you would like to do as a process. And a lot of people will make the mistake of going without thinking, this is fast money. I can make a lot of money here, and then I can go and do what I want over there.
Exactly, yes.
And so when you get that kind of message and you start thinking a thought like that, red flag, danger, that's not an opportunity that will work for you.
Mm.
That's an opportunity that your adolescent who is filled with fantasy is playing with.
Okay,
right?
So for a business partner to say, I'm building this business in order to get my other dream, it's probably not a practical way.
Yes. Yeah, if you're looking at, okay, I'm going to jump in here and do this, I'm not really excited about this that much, but it looks like it could bring me lots of success, so I'll jump in here and do this really quickly, and then I'll go over there to what I really would prefer doing, and but then I'll have this leverage of all the success that's going to float me over there to where I can have more fun over there, and I won't be thinking about the money so much. You see?
Yeah.
That kind of energy is a beware, danger. It's going to shoot you in the foot. You
okay.
understand?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, dear one, for that question.
Thanks.
Very good question. And thank you all of you who called in. And thank all of you who probably have called in but didn't get to speak. And we're going to leave now for a few seconds and be quiet, and then the one who channels us, Ginger, will be back with you. Farewell. Okay, I'm back. This is Ginger, and thank you so much for joining us on our show. Make sure that you, if you want to hear more about Galexis or know more about Galexis, feel free to go to the website galexisspirit.com. That's GalexisSpirit.com. And if you want, we can let you know about certain events and circumstances and possibilities and all sorts of CDs and other events, and you can just sign up for our mailing list. And we'd love to stay in contact with you. And so it's been a pleasure for me to channel for you and on this new day, and wishing you all the best on your path of power. So signing off, goodbye.